Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. To combat economic headwinds and uncertainty, supply chains must build more resiliency and transparency, and find innovative ways to address the industry's workforce and talent shortage. In this episode, we're exploring key insights from the 2025 MHI Annual Industry Report. Now in its 12th year, this annual report, in collaboration with Deloitte, tracks the technologies and trends transforming the supply chain landscape. Given the current economic climate, this year's findings are more significant than ever. According to the report, 55% of supply chain leaders are boosting their investment in technology and innovation, with 60% planning to spend over $1 million, and nearly 1 in 5 planning to spend over $10 million. The report debuted at ProMat 2025, with a keynote panel led by John Paxton and Wanda Riddick Johnson. They were accompanied by some innovative thought leaders who are joining us for this conversation. And so, let's welcome John Paxton, CEO of MHI, Wanda Riddick Johnson, Supply Chain Technology Fellow for Deloitte, Rick McDonald, CEO of Rick McDonald Supply Chain Advisory, Priscilla Burke, Director of Supply Chain Risk and Compliance at Stanley Black & Decker, Randy John Zemus, Vice President of Distribution at Perform Itself, and Thomas Goldsby, Professor of Supply Chain Logistics at the University of Tennessee. In this MHI Cast, we're going to discuss the trends, insights, and findings of the 2025 MHI Annual Industry Report. This year's theme is the Digital Supply Chain Ecosystem, Orchestrating End-to-End Solutions. All right, let's start with our first question. John, what are we seeing in this year's annual report theme that is relevant to today's supply chain professionals?
What we're seeing in the report is several trends impacting industry. First one is rising costs and pressure on rising costs and inflation. Though it's starting to normalize, it continues, it's year-over-year inflation, so it continues to build. So there's a lot of pressure on costs and cost reduction. The second one has really taken shape recently is political uncertainty. So what is going to happen in the geopolitical front? And along those lines, how does that impact your supply chains to figure out what is the best place to source from? What is the best place to build your products and distribute your products so that you have the shortest, most resilient supply chains? And beyond that, the next one is workforce challenges. Demographics and workforce, the older workforce is retiring, the younger workforce is not necessarily interested in the manual labor, the manual jobs that it takes to run some of these warehousing and distribution centers. So it really puts a crunch on getting the talent in place to operate the distribution centers. But then along those lines, as they start to advance and work with higher tech products, you also need the tech skills. So it's really on two fronts for the workforce challenges. The next one is supply chain resiliency, and that has been a topic for a long time. And once COVID hit and supply chains were broken, that became a topic of how do you make sure that you have backups in your supply chain? How do you make sure you can anticipate delays and disruptions so that you can actually keep the supply chains flowing? And then the last one is more tactical. It's inventory challenges, and it's really how do you predict the customer demand? How do you have the right products at the right place at the right time? And we went through a period of shortages and then a period of overstock and overinflation. That has normalized a little bit, but as these geopolitical problems start to arise and start these pressures become higher, then what happens is it puts pressure also on the inventory challenges. So there's a lot of things to consider.
Priscilla, why do you think this year's theme, Orchestrating End-to-End Solutions, is essential for supply chain professionals?
Digital technology is completely changing how we are working. You no longer have to do a lot of manual tasks because you'd have artificial intelligence or robots to be able to help you. So why wouldn't you? You're really trying to make sure that your organization is moving forward. And if you aren't using that kind of technology, you really could be stemming your progress. So I think it's quite a fitting theme.
I'm also curious to hear from Thomas and then Randy on the importance of this year's report findings and why supply chain professionals should go grab a copy.
Well, it's always a great idea to take a pulse read on what's keeping people up at night, where they're directing their thoughts and energies. And so this year's was quite interesting in terms of capturing a very dynamic marketplace. As we look at the previous 2 years, 2023, the theme was responsible supply chains. 2024 was collaborative supply chains. And this year, you know, we're looking at evolution and revolution. And I think just any current read across a broad cross-section of supply chain professionals is a wise idea.
When we look at our supply chains today, the global supply chains, and really the disruptions that can occur, I think if we looked at what happened in years past with the global epidemic, and then now today with some of the tariff activity, the geopolitical activities around the world, and all of our supply chains are connected. And it is a global supply chain that we have to manage. And I think the end-to-end solutions that were highlighted here about how do we create transparency and information flow seamlessly across our supply chains sounds easy, but when you really sit down and look at how do you implement from your procurement through manufacturing and distribution, transportation and fulfillment, and really have data flowing seamlessly between all of them, it's a great competitive advantage if you can get there, but it's a journey to do that. To be able to get the data clean and be able to get to one version of the truth across your entire company, that alone is a huge undertaking. And I think a lot of us will start to approach that end-to-end solution just in portions and pieces. And really, it's a long-term journey to get there. I think it's something that we could all strive to. But it's going to be a real challenge for a lot of companies to implement that. But it really does give you a competitive advantage in the marketplace.
Wanda, as we look ahead 5 to 10 years from now, what impactful trends stand out to you? And how will the trends outlined in the report change, improve, or possibly negatively affect the industry?
If you look at the top five that really were impactful, number one, everybody's talking about AI and AI adoption. So we have that one. And how do you implement AI into your business? But using that investment dollars, that was one. How do they use those investment dollars to be effective there? One is inventory challenges or inventory management. People are really looking at how do I actually smooth out my inventory, some of my issues that they have there, and how do they improve that? Two is supply chain agility and resilience. How do you actually adapt to those changes in your supply chain and actually be more resilient? And how do I have more predictive analysis to understand what are some of the issues I'm having and how I can actually be more proactive in resolving those? The other one is workforce and talent shortages. And if you think about that coupled with automation and how automation and all that ties in together, those are always in the top of the mind.
Wanda, I would love for you to discuss the technology covered in the report. What stood out to you that you're particularly interested in?
For me, it's automation, because automation plus the workforce challenges, those two together will actually help solve some of the problems with bringing in automation, because number one, you're going to upskill your workforce and reskill them to help with that automation implementation. So if you think about an ASRS, Automated Storage and Retriever System, you're implementing that. Now, Johnny, who used to drive the forklift, or Susie, who used to go out and walk up and down the aisles and pick all day, now if you're implementing this automation, Johnny no longer has to go up and down the aisles, but now he's actually sitting in front of a sale, understanding how this interaction of all these systems work together, and now upskilling him, and he no longer has to drive that forklift every day. Well, let's first talk about automation and how that's changing. That's changing not only within the four walls of the warehouse, but people always think about warehouse automation, but how do you automate like for demand planning, how you automate for forecasting? That's changing how I can actually be more resilient. I can adapt to those changes. So if we pull in AI adoption, if you take that and really think about how people are now using AI and all the outputs of that, you can now take that information. How do I plan my demand, my forecast of my SKUs or my forecasting of my planning department? And that ties all the way down to how do I actually make sure my end customer is satisfied? Because a lot of times we only think about the upstream and these different components, but all those components together is really that customer really wants to know how quick they're going to get their information, how quick they're going to get their product. So then that ties into one of the other trends is inventory challenges. So now how do I actually make sure I restock and I actually be more adapted to what that outcome would be using AI to generate a lot of that information? Now it ties into my end user who now takes all that information and how they actually use it to actually be more preventive or predictive and how they answer and adapt to what's changing in the marketplace.
Rick, what trends do you see impacting the supply chain moving forward?
Well, some of the biggest industry trends and most interesting to me are about digital transformation, about leadership, and about the human element of our supply chains. And I think those are going to be the predominant trends that will occur and lead the way, if you will, with regard to supply chain performance and actually company performance. The leadership angle on anything that happens in the supply chain is taking extraordinary leaps forward, in my opinion, both in terms of the role of the leader, the responsibility of the leader, and what it means to lead in a time when there's a lot of transition from non-digital assets to digital assets, concurrent with a period of time when there just aren't enough people to take on the jobs that we have in the supply chain. And by the way, there are a lot of people who are not coming through school saying, I can't wait to get into supply chain. It's a broader discipline than it was 10 years ago, but still not enough for the amount of supply chain talent that we need. And so this idea of balancing human assets and digital assets, I think, is going to take on much more importance as time moves on.
Thomas, how about you? What piqued your interest regarding the latest trends covered in the report?
As I recall, the top two trends were in the areas of economic uncertainty, market uncertainty, a very dynamic marketplace, and companies are wrestling with how to meet ever-changing consumer demands, very different economic scenarios, geopolitics, a whole host of issues are presenting themselves. And then I noticed item number three was supply chain resilience and agility. And I was really glad to see that not only make the top five, but it's right there behind those first two in the areas of uncertainty, because I believe agility in particular can be a very valuable weapon, not only for preventing bad things from happening or absorbing potential disruption, but also leveraging the opportunities that a very dynamic marketplace can present.
So what should supply chain leaders do when facing uncertainty? John, I'd be interested in hearing from you on this one.
The political uncertainty and the inflation piece, that one is really a challenge from the point of right now you don't exactly know what to do. You don't know what the steps should be. You can't really predict what's going to happen. So we're hopeful that we'll settle out and settle down and it'll become a more clear picture. And once we have a clear picture, then companies will get about the business of making changes or implementing process improvements to deal with that. But right now, the uncertainty is really a challenge, and people might be inclined to wait and see, which might not be the best course of action.
What can people in the industry or companies dealing with these trends do to capitalize on these changes or mitigate potential damage?
To mitigate their damage or to capitalize on it, I always look at the positive side. The capitalization is really looking at your process, bringing the technology into place. We talk about digital transformation, understanding your data, understanding the technologies that can help you optimize your supply chains, build in efficiencies, but really help you to advance and to grow your business. there's a lot of opportunity now with the technology to be able to help with that.
Rick and Randy, let's come back to you. When comparing the findings from the 2025 report with previous reports, what trends or technologies have gotten a lot of attention? Were there any that surprised you?
I think there's much more emphasis on artificial intelligence. It's hard to go 5 minutes without having somebody use the words artificial intelligence in some context or another. And that doesn't mean they necessarily understand how AI works or where it might be best used to solve the problems they have in their supply chain. But that was one of the things that struck me, was how much focus there was on artificial intelligence in its various forms, including ChatGPT and including agentic AI.
I think what stood out to me, one of the first things, is just people and talent and workforce and being able to attract and retain. Because I think we can talk about these wonderful initiatives and automation that we see on here at ProMat, but at the end of the day, I still need leaders and supervisors on the floor operating and executing and really working with the tools that are available. And I think as we look at it, it's started to change some of the requirements for leaders in supply chain. We really need to be looking for folks that probably aren't as process driven, because all we ever did was work on process. But when an AMR solution or an automated solution can come in and repeat that process over and over and over and be exact every time, I think it starts to show that our people then, how do we work with the data that we provide? And it's really individuals' imagination, curiosity, that starts to unlock the true power of AI and some of the automated solutions.
John, what about you?
The robotics and automation piece really helps with the workforce and the workforce challenges. And the idea is having equipment and systems in place that replace the mundane jobs, the physical jobs, and really allows the people in those positions to be able to advance and have higher level jobs. The other part is the AI piece. We've heard a lot about AI over the past several years. What we see now is there are systems and tools that can be used for many different processes, and it takes your people out of the data crunching phase and actually puts it into usable information. The AI trend is really interesting from the perspective of there's some real important use cases where people have put that in place. For example, managing transportation routing, supplier management, knowing which one of your suppliers are delivering on time, how they're delivering, what their cost structure is, and to be able to optimize your performance. Inventory management is a great place, and understanding the customer demands. Anywhere you have a lot of data, right now the idea is bringing forth the tools that can help you understand the data as opposed to actually crunching it yourself. That's where we've seen some great use cases.
John, can you identify the top challenges supply chains are facing?
The top challenges for this year's report centered around workforce. That has risen to the top challenge, and then also understanding the customer demands. And the workforce challenge can be offset with automation and providing tools to make them more efficient. And the customer demands and understanding the customer demands really is a big data story, where you understand the data, you can predict the ordering, and you can optimize your inventory accordingly.
Any success stories or cautionary tales from the report? Priscilla, can you think of an example that caught your attention?
One of the examples which stands out is how they were able to, I can't remember the name of the company, but they had like specific box sizes at one particular point in time. And so they weren't able to have as much efficiency in terms of packing and sending to their customers. And when they did introduce technology, it allowed them to have more carton sizes or more box sizes, but at the same time, they were able to shorten the time that they were delivering to their customers. And I think that's ultimately what you want to be able to do in terms of making a transformation for your customer, making sure that they can see the difference. So I believe from the example, they went from like 8 days to 2 days. So definitely an impressive case study. And the fact that they were able to really identify that as a pain point and maybe take it to the next level where they go to a different area and focus on that later and just ultimately continue to speed up their ability to meet their customer needs.
Wanda, how about you?
I think one of the success stories I can tell too is when you do an implementation of a warehouse management system, they knew that they wanted to implement automation. So what did they do before? They made sure they brought their employees along the journey. They went through and did a clean business case. And so once they did that business case, they understood that, hey, these are the things I need to make sure when I implement my WMS, my warehouse management system, I need to make sure I do right. I made sure that my data integration to my host system was done correctly. And then also I made sure that each one of my employees was trained properly. But one key piece they really did well is the day in the life of the supervisor. So a lot of times when we start looking at change management, we put in a large, complex WMS, they forget that it's not only the system is not going to just take the place of all their activities, but the supervisor really needs to know how what they did today did before is different than what they're going to do for the future. And how did that impact each one of them? So in the mornings, what we did successfully on the team that I worked on, we made sure that they understood, I know in the morning I need to check this. I can look at my dashboard and see what was picked last night, if it was actually anything that was incorrect. When they did all of that coupled together, it came out to a successful implementation. Let me give you a bad example. The not good example is still with the ERP or WMS. You're integrating to a ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning System, and your WMS, and you're doing that as one big bang. You're not doing just a WMS by itself. With that said, that story that I want to tell you about is they didn't really think about the systems integration to all those systems. And so when we did go live, we realized that, oh, I thought I tested all these scenarios, but they never brought in all the right people that had done that work before that knew those systems. So this happens when you have a legacy system, and now you're upgrading to one of the top off-the-shelf ERPs. And then with that, you have your WMS, which is off-the-shelf, but you did some modifications. But you really need to understand that testing between all those systems is very important, because what's going to affect at the end is, and this is what happened, once they went live, the shipping to the customer slowed down. And one major thing that was not is the communication. So when you do your communication plan, it's not just a communication to the people that you're actually working with. Your internal customer is your external customer.
You all touched on some excellent aspects of the report. John, how can our listeners utilize the report within their organization?
The first thing is with the report is to read it, look at your strategic plan. Is it addressing the trends that we see on the horizon? But then also look at the technology adoption and how companies are adopting that and how that's developing. And then ask yourself, are we developing at the same or faster pace? There's also case studies that are specific for examples of how companies have implemented solutions and products along these lines.
Those are some great tips. Rick, how about you? Where should our listeners get started in taking advantage of this report?
The top 10 list is a phenomenal starting point. And for me, I would look at those trends and determine, are these trends coincidental with problems they're trying to solve in their organization? Just because they're the top 10 doesn't mean it's your top 10. But the ones where the top 10 match problems they're trying to solve, the use cases, the business cases are a fantastic way to learn more about that particular trend and what somebody has done to successfully navigate the space.
What are some of the key initiatives in the report that organizations should undertake to enhance the orchestration of their supply chain? Randy, would you like to answer this one?
I think in this year's report, it does a very good job of talking about setting up a roadmap. And I think it's the cascading of your strategic initiatives. And it really outlines the steps. So I think you've got to look at what are your initiatives or what are the areas that you want to problem solve or impact? And then are those initiatives, are they measurable? And can you put strategic initiatives in place to impact them? Because I think we've all got to go through a process to get dollars approved, support within the organization, resources to implement it. But we also have a very good way to measure what those impacts are, And I think it takes a collaborative effort across your entire leadership team that everyone is in support of those initiatives for them to be successful.
Lastly, what key message do you hope someone might take away from reading the report? Thomas, let's hear from you.
I think that it's important to just fill your head with as much content, good ideas as you can. I would encourage folks to read the report. And I found, you know, someone who lives and breathes supply chain, I still found a lot of insight from it myself. Again, it did confirm some of my preconceived notions and challenged some others. And so I do encourage everyone to access the report. But I think what you're going to find is perhaps the most state-of-the-art read on not just the state of technology, equipment, adoption. You will find that, but also the state of thinking more critically. And I, for one, very much look forward to the issuance of the report each year. Delighted that I had an opportunity to get a sneak peek and even to offer a few quotes that are found in the report this year. But it's something that I eagerly anticipate. And I would hope that folks not only consume the 2025 report, but start looking forward to that 2026 report.
Thank you to John, Wanda, Rick, Priscilla, Randy, and Thomas for joining us on this special episode of the MHI Cast, detailing specific trends and findings from the annual industry report. And a huge thank you to you, our audience, for tuning in on this discussion. Don't forget to download the 2025 MHI Annual Industry Report to level up your knowledge. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.